It's my idea to have these webinars for the firm. You know,
okay, let's get self-organized here.
My younger partners can't seem to get them to do it.
So, also, before we start our learning in Eizu Mekomon, we wanted to finish up something that we started yesterday, and we didn't get a chance to finish. And you might remember that at the end of yesterday, I mentioned to you Rav Aryeh Leib Malin.
Absolutely.
And I don't have the Sefer, Chidushei Rav Aryeh Leib Malin on Zvachim, I don't have access to that, but I do have a summary of his Chiddush here in the Nefesh Tova, and we're on in Chelek Beis, and we're in the middle of Os Beis on Daf Mem Zayin Omer Aleph.
Mem Zayin.
So in my book, and I think here we're on the same page, It would be on Shin Samach Zayin. Yes. Is that correct?
Correct.
And I think you took a picture of it yesterday.
I did, but
Shin Samach Zayin.
No, I have, but because it doesn't go any further. So that's the question: where are you going to be?
Okay.
You know what? Do you know where you're going to be?
Take another picture.
Take an extra picture. It's always good to have an extra picture.
It's worth 1,000 words.
Right.
The video's worth 100,000 words.
Wow.
Can you WhatsApp it to me? I'll
look at it. I got about.
Okay. So we got to the stage in life where I don't have to make the photocopies, but I have to wait for you to take the pictures. We'll get to the stage where even that won't be necessary.
Shmuel, right?
Imagine if we could just ask the publisher if he could just give us, you know, some sort of online copy of the Sefer, and then we'd all have access to it. In any event, here on page Shin Samach Zayin, there's a paragraph that starts Ubechidushe Rabbi Aryeh Leib. So let me just introduce this chiddush by saying the following. In the case of Parvis Soyer on Yom HaKippurim, and we're going to see that there's a certain overlap to all what's called Chatos Pnimios, but let's just focus now on Parvis Soyer on Yom HaKippurim. So there's the first set of Hazos, which is called Achas Lamala and Sheva Lamata, is done in the Kodesh Kadoshim, Bein Abadim. And Rashi here, at the beginning of Eizu Mekomon Shel Zvachim, says that the Kohen has to stand when he does, he's actually situated as he does these Hazos in the area called Bein Abadim. He's standing literally between the Badim, between these poles. And Rav Aryeh Leib Malin in this presentation wants to understand, why is this so? Why is it necessary for the Kohen to stand Bein Abadim? Let him do the Hazah in such a way that the Dam itself will land Bein Abadim. But he doesn't have to stand himself Bein Abadim. And in order to explain Rashi and justify why Rashi assumes that the Kohen has to be situated Bein Abadim, he quotes a sugya in the first perek of Zvachim, and that is on Daf Tezvav. Now, I want to, in reviewing that sugya with you, I want to talk to you first in conceptual terms, and then we'll talk in more practical terms. You know, before we flesh out the reality of the physicality of it, let's just talk in conceptual terms. What is the nature of the mitzvah of Zrikas Hadam? How do we define it? It's so central in Kodshim. What is it? Is it that the Kohen throws the dam and that's it? Or is that the dam lands on the Mizbeach? Does anybody remember the nafkamina between the two?
Yes. Yeah, there's the three stages. He becomes a Baal Mum in the middle.
Excellent. He becomes a Baal Mum in the middle. So if we're going to define the Avodah Sazrika as just sending it up in the air, then I don't care if he becomes a Baal Mum in between the moment that he sent it up and the moment that it lands on the Mizbech. If, on the other hand, his mitzvah is to get the dam on the Mizbech, and the Zrika is only culminates with the dam reaching the Mizbech, then he has to be a kosher and a tamim until the dam reaches the Mizbech. Now, this was the suffix of Rav Yirmiya on Daf Tesvav. And let me just open up to Daf Tesvav here so we'll have it in front of us. Now, Rav Yirmiya raised this question to Rav Zera. The names are important here because Rav Zera gave a final conclusion to Rav Yirmiya. And the discussion here between Rav Yirmiya and Rav Zera revolves around the following. Hayamaze al Mizbeach. And we talk about the case of Dam Chatasov, Vinikta Yodo Shalmaza Achlo Igia Dam Li Avir Hamizbeach, Mahu. What's the deal in such a case? He became a Balmud before the Dam reached the Mizbeach. And do we need the Avodah to complete with a Kohen Kosher Bisofa when it reaches the Mizbeach? And Rav Zera responds to Rav Yirmiya, and he says, Psula, the carbon is possible. In other words, the avodah was done by a balmu, my taima. And he postulates a hekesh in the pasuk itself. The pasuk there is talking about a chatas, what's called a chatas pnimus. And it says, V'tavala kohenes etzba'o badam v'hiza. So we want to underline that word v'hiza. And here the Torah specifies the hazor sadam. And the hazor sadam here is what's called el pnei parochas hakodesh. So that deals with what's called the heichal, the parochas and the heichal. And then the pasuk says, v'nasana kohen ben adam al karnos hamizbeach. So the Hekish is the following, Vehiza Vinasan. That just like Vinasan means that the Dam Chatos HaPnimus has to reach the Mizbeach, because Vinasan is Al HaMizbeach, so too the Vehiza has to reach the Mizbeach. The Hazah is compared to Nesina in order to tell us that the Hazah culminates if and when the Dam reaches the Mizbeach. Therefore, if the Kohen became Balmud before the Dam reached the Mizbeach, it's possible. Now, this Gemara that we're pulling out here on Daf Tesvav and Aleph really belongs to an earlier Sugya. And the earliest Sugya there is addressing the case of what we call Chatas HaOf. What's the big deal about Chatas HaOf? Chatas HaOf also requires a kind of a hazah, and the hazah is done after the malika, when the Kohen sort of shakes up the bird in such a way that the dam reaches the kira mizbeach. And in this case, the Kohen doesn't actually carry the dam to the kira mizbeach. He does the malika right contiguous to the kira mizbeach. And Rav Shimon holds that holacha shelo beregel is not considered a holacha. That means that only if he actually carries the dam, like in all other karbanos, then the holacha itself becomes an avodah, and therefore he had a machshavas psul when he was carrying the dam, that would pass the karban. But here, in the case of Chatas HaOf, there is no holacha beregel. So the Gemara says, then how do we justify the fact that we know that there's a machshava poselis in Chatas HaOf? When does that exactly happen? Because the Gemara thinks that once the dam leaves the oaf, then at that very second, the Kohen has completed his avodah, therefore there's no machshava poselis. And ultimately what the Gemara says is that based on the answer of Rav Zera to Rav Yirmiya's question, we see that the Dam has to reach the Mizbeach. so that in that split second of time before, between the Hazor, when he shakes up the oath, whatever he does, again, we can get into details at some other point, but he gets the dam onto the Mizbeach, in that very fraction of a second it takes until the dam reaches the Mizbeach, that's when the Kohen can have a Machshava Poselis. And Tosis wants to understand, why did the Gemara attack Rabbi Shimon? I mean, the Gemara describes that the Bnei Marava were laughing at this whole business, because according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no such thing as a Machshava Poselis and Chatos Ohov. And Tosis doesn't understand. What do you mean? There's no such thing. We already have the answer of Rav Zera, that the Torah has a hekesh between Vehiza and Vinasan, which teaches me that the Avodas Hazah only completes itself when it reaches the Mizbeach. So Tosis says the Havamina was to compare the Hazah of Chatas Ha'ov to the case of Hazah of Bein Abad, which means we're going now back to Soyer and Chatos of Yom HaKippur, Parvus Soyer and Yom HaKippur. And in those two Karbonos, the Torah requires Hazah Bein Abadim. This could be another set of Hazah in the Heichal, but negative the Parochas. But now we're talking about the Kapores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And there, says Tosfos, the... just to read his language, he says,
where is this?
This is the bottom, shall we say, four lines of Tosus Divra Maskel Ella on Tesvav Manalev. Salkitait Kamina de Lotzarach Mizbeach. We don't have to wait till the Dam reaches the Mizbeach. So the Havamina was when the Bnei Marava laughed at Rav Shimon and they precluded the possibility of Machshava Poselis and Chatasov. The Havamina was that even before the dam reaches the Mizbeach, finito, you know, the story is over. The avoda of Hazar is complete. And there's no room for Machshava Poselis. Why? Because we're going to compare it, midi dahava. You see those two words, midi dahava. Whenever you see those words, midi dahava, we're talking about a conceptual analogy. The Hazar de Parochas Ubein Abadim. Dahavya Hazar Afal Pishlo Noga. Now those words, Afal Pishlo Noga, remind us of Rashi on the Mishnah of Ezu Makoma. Because Rashi on the Mishnah on Ezu Makoma, Dibro Maskal Hazoy Bein Abadim, Rashi says, Ome Bein Shnei Bari Ha'orom, Maze Achas Lamal V'Zayim Lamato, Keneged Ovyo Shal Kapores, V'lo Hayu Nogim Bo. So we have two sets of Hazos in the case of Paravisor Shem HaKippurim. We have one Hazor Kenega the Kaporis. That's the first set of Hazos in the Kodesh Kodoshim. We have a second set, Bein Abad, and that's Bein Abad. Then we have a second set, which is Kenega Ha Paroches. And Rashi says that Lo Hayun Novim Bo, that the Dam never actually reaches the Kapores in the case of Bein Abadim, it never actually reaches the Paroches in the case of the Hazor Neheichal. Hazor, I mean the seven Lamala, you know, the one Lamala and seven Lamata. And Tosus here uses the same halacha, namely that you don't need what? You don't need Negia to explain in the cases of Hazor and Paroches. Right, Hazor Parochas and Hazor Bein Abadim, that there, even if the Kohen were to become a Balmum after he starts the process of Hazor, before the Dam reaches its place, and Tosus seems to, shall I say, downgrade the significance of the Dam reaching that place, because there's no Negia, and therefore the Korban is kosher. So it's amazing because we now have the following structure according to Tosfos. In all karbonos that require zrika, Rabbi Zera tells Rabbi Yirmiyah that if the Kohen becomes a balmum after the tchilas zrika, but before the hagal gabi mizbeach, then the karbon is pasul. In the cases of hazah, the parvus sarish yom kippurim, Keneged ha kaporis in Beit HaBadim, or keneged ha parochas in the Heichal, in those cases, if the kohen became balmum, the nazar is kshera. Now, in the middle between these two, we have the suffek, or shall we say the attack, if you will, against Rabbi Shimon about chatas ha'of. You know, where does chatas ha'of fit into this picture? Is chatas ha'of like a classical case of zriko, which would mean if the kohen became a balmum, or he had a machshava poselis, the Gemara is talking about at the time after the hazor was on its way, but before it landed on the mizbeah. Therefore, we would say the carbon is possible. Or shall we say no? Chatas ha'ov should be similar to the hazos on the parochas, the kapores, where even if the kohen became a balmum, it would be kosher, because there the emphasis is on the hazor, which means the kohen's action when he sends the dam in the direction that he sends it in. So we don't know where chatas ha'ov is in between these two. And basically, Tosfos is addressing the following question: how could the Gemara laugh at Reb Shimon and say, "Well, there's no machshava poselis in chatas ha'ov," when we see that clearly from Reb Zera's response, we have this hekesh to v'nasan, and therefore there is that window of time between the hazar as the tchila and the hagar as the self, and therefore there could be a machshava poselis in that period of time. So why did the Gemara? Why did the Gemara laugh at Reb Shimon initially? Didn't the Gemara know about Reb Zera's hekesh to v'nasan? And Tosfos says, well, the Gemara's havamina was to equate chatas ha'ov with the hazos of Bein Abadim. So to explain this havamina, Rabbi Aryeh Leib Malin says the following. Again, I'm not going to read every word. I'm just going to, as I always do, try to highlight the main points. And it's worth it for you to look inside, and you read the text at least for yourself. And he's trying to explain why Tosfos understood, because it's not explicit in the Gemara, that in the case of Hazos of Bein Abadim, and in the case of the Hazos on the Parochas, those Hazos are absolutely complete, and the Gemara Hazos is as soon as the dam just goes off the hands of the Kohen. And Tosfos emphasizes the fact that there was no requirement of Negia for the dam to actually reach the Kaporis or the Parochas. Says Rav Aryeh Leib Malin that there's a fundamental difference between Zrika and Hazah. Now, let me just point out, in the Parsha of Chatas Ha'of, the Torah says Vihiza. And there's a difference between v'nasan and v'hiza. V'nasan means to get the dam onto the mizbeach, or get it to land on it at a certain spot. But when it says v'hiza, Rabbi Aryeh Leib Malin says that the word hazah in the Torah, in biblical Hebrew, has a different halachic connotation, and it means v'hiza, get the dam off the hands of, you know, basically it means that the dam in the hands of the Kohen has to do an act of what word can I use here, flicking his hand, you know, whether he does it this way or that way, with lamal lamato, and he basically just has to flick it. It's almost like the focus here is the Kohen, not the dam. And how did Tosfos know that in the cases of Bein Abadim and Parochas, the emphasis here is on the Kohen himself and the Maisa Hazah? And he says the following: She'ein b'hem din matan damim, meaning the dam doesn't have to reach a certain place. El din Maisa Hazah bilvat. If you'd want, you can underline those words. I don't know again what the rules and regulations is in a sefer that's owned by the community, so to speak. But you said yesterday, Don, that you could underline things in your picture. So
no,
at the end you can't. Oh, that's too bad. All right, so back to photocopying again.
No.
So what? Again, because I think it's important to underline things. That's how. Again, my Rebbe was not of that opinion. I remember once he asked for a Gemara, so somebody handed him a Gemara, and there was underlines. You know, so the Rebbe said, if it was my Gemara, I'd underline every single word on the page. He said. I'll never forget that. Anyway, so I would underline the words b'chidusha. You see the paragraph of Sas b'chidusha Rabariye towards the end of that paragraph. It says she'ein b'hem din matan damim el din ma'isa hazav bilvat. That's what I call the major breakthrough here of Rabariye Leib Malin.
You don't say it.
So if you're counting from the top of the paragraph down, you'd have to count about 8 lines. She'ein b'hem din matan damim el din ma'isa hazav bilvat. Okay? Now, when he says that there's no din matan damim in hazah, that's a little bit odd, because the hazah can't be just anywhere in the world. So he writes the following, vidin, and the requirement of neged haparoches, or neged ovya shel kapores. Okay, these are the two sets of hazos in the parvis sor of Yom Kippurim. That din, hu bimakom lemaisa hazah. You hear this, Rav Osai? You have to be a very abstract thinker here. He's saying that although it's clear that the dam has to get to a certain place, and that place is called Bein Abadim or Keneged HaParoches, he says that's only a barometer, so to speak, to define in the halachic kashrus of Avodas HaKorbanos the Maisa Hazor. What qualifies, what constitutes a Maisa Hazor? But v'lo mokom b'matan damim. It's not a din in the dam, it's a din in the Maisa Hazor. The Maisa Hazor has to reach a certain place. And he says that we can now understand, you know, why the Bnei Ma'arava were laughing at Reb Shimon, meaning they thought that there's no possibility of Machshava Poselos and Chatos Ha'ov. And he says the following. This is the paragraph that starts with Bir. Mm-hmm. Yesh Lechem?
Yes.
He says, D'b'chol Makom, that's on the first line, D'b'chol Makom, D'chsiv, anywhere in the Torah where you see the word Vehiza, and if I would add in brackets, for example, Chatasa'o, where it says Vehiza, Kainhu, that definition that we just offered applies that it's a din in the Maisa Hazah, D'lok Pida Torah El Al Maisa Hazah, V'leka Makom Matan Damim. There's really no din of Matan Damim in Makom, meaning the Makom here is not as far as the Dam is concerned. In the case of Zriko, where the Torah says V'nasan, the Torah is telling you that you have to place the dam on the Mizbeach. And the dam reaching the Mizbeach is the culmination and perhaps the essence of Matan Dam. But in the case where the Torah uses the word what? Vehiza, then Vehiza means that all you need is a Maisa Hazah. And there's no Torah's makom for the matan damim, meaning in the dam itself. Again, you may have to get it to a certain location, but that's only in order to set up a hazah. In other words, if you're on the moon and you do a hazah, that's not called a hazah. And he says, Lefi Zeh, the next paragraph, Hadakos of Rashi, now we can begin to appreciate the Rashi, Shetzorach HaKohen Lamod Bein Abadim. Why does the Kohen, who can guess what he's going to say now, Rabbi Leib? Why is the Kohen, according to Rashi, it's critical that he stand Bein Abadim, now that we shifted the emphasis from the Dam to the Kohen?
Because all the, you need the Makom Maaseh.
Correct, because what's going to define the Maisa Hazah, which completes itself the minute that the Dam leaves the hands of the Kohen, if not for the fact that the Kohen is located, he's situated in the Bein Abadim area. If he's not in the Bein Abadim, then you can talk about where the Dam is going to land. But the Torah is not interested in where the Dam is. Any interest in where the Dam is going to land is only to set up the Maisa Hazah. So the Maisa Hazah has got to be Bein Abadim. And basically, for our purposes, the Kohen, as soon as the split second that the Dam leaves his hand, he could become a Baal Mum. It wouldn't affect anything. Excuse me. So the conclusion is that the Maisa Hazah has to be a Hazah of Bein Abadim. Now, how do you set up the Maisa Hazah as Bein Abadim? If there was Halach in Zrika, if there was Halach in the Dam, then it has to reach a certain place. And when it lands there, that's when the Hazah is complete. So then you could define it as Hazah of Bein Abadim, even if the Kohen is standing outside of Bein Abadim, because the Dam reaches Bein Abadim. But if you're shifting the emphasis, and now the requirement of the Kohen is the Hazah itself, And immediately with the Tchilas Hazah, when I say Tchilas Hazah, I mean when the Dam leaves his hand, at that moment, the hazah is complete, the kohen for our purposes can become a baal mum, and it wouldn't affect anything. And based on that, Tosa says the Gemara half meter that in Chatas Olaf, that's when they attacked Reb Shimon, there would be no possibility of machshava poseles. And therefore, Rashi insists that the kohen has to be standing ben abad. Mishum di ein tzorch shiagi adam bekapores. Rashi emphasized the fact that the dam has no negia on the kapores. And why? Because again, if the Torah would have required a negias dam bekapores, what would that indicate? Again, I'm telling you something that's absolutely wrong. Because the dam does not have to reach the kapores. But let's say theoretically, I would prove to you somehow that the dam would have to reach the kapores.
The nafkamina was if the coin became baal mum, they'd be pasul.
Correct. And why? Why? Why then? What definition are you operating with now?
The definition that when it's arrived at the end.
Correct. That the dam has to reach a certain location. That's your definition of vinasan. But now that Rashi points out, and there's no question about this, that the dam does not have to reach the kapores. That's because the din is hazah. You know, it's hazah sakoin. Any requirement that the dam land in a certain area, that's only to define the hazah as a hazah. And that's what he says. Ein ba'hazah zu makom ha'ndamim. Again, I would emphasize the word damim here. It's not a din in the dam that has to be placed in a certain place. Whereas classically, zrika is on the mizbeach, but in the case of hazah, it would be on the kaporis. Whoa. How you doing, Yon? I don't want to get a drum roll here because you'll feel embarrassed here, you know, if we give you a drum.
Yeah, I think I'll move over.
Okay. But it's really good to see you. So Yoni, just to repeat the last paragraph, so you'll be able to hopefully hone in on what we're saying over here. When you talk about Zrikas Adam, which is sort of the central concept in all of Kodshim, you could talk about two things. You could talk about the Kohen, who's doing the Zrika, and you could talk about the Dam that's reaching the Mizbeach. The difference is that if you take the first definition, then it means that as far as we're concerned, in Hilchas Avodas HaKarbonos, the very second that the Dam leaves the hand of the Kohen, that's it. The Avod is complete. If you take the second definition, that the Zrikas Adam means to get the Dam onto the Mizbeach, then the Ikar and the clincher of the Avodas Adam is when the Dam reaches the Mizbeach. Now you may ask me, what's the difference? You're splitting hairs over here. But believe it or not, the Gemara has a difference. The Gemara wants to know what happens if you'd have a psul after the Dam left the hand of the Kohen, but before it landed on the Mizbeach. It's midair. And that's what the Gemara calls Baal Mum. He became, the Kohen actually became a Baal Mum. You know, somebody clopped him over the head. You know, he became a Baal Mum while the Dam was in flight. So we're now studying, I mean, that was just the background so you could clue in. We're now studying the insights of Arye Leib Malin, who was a great Rosh Yeshiva in America. He was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. And he claims that on Yom HaKippurim, where there was a halacha with regard to Parvasar of Yom HaKippurim, Hazah, he says that the word Hazah in the Torah, when it says Behizah, is not identical with Vizarak, with Vinasan. When the Torah used the words Nesina or Zrika, that means that we're emphasizing the Avodas Adam, that the Dam has to reach a certain place, you know, call that location, whether it's the Kronos HaMizbeach, whether it's the Gaga of Mizbeach, whether it's the Kira Mizbeach, Lamala, Lamata, and all the different possibilities. But the Dam has to reach its place. I'll give you an example, Rabosai. What would you say about the following? If Reuven would shoot a gun, and it takes, let's say, a second until it reaches its target, at what point, let's say if that target is going to be is going to cause chilul shabbos, let's say, right? At what point would you say Reuven is chayev? Is he chayev at the point that he shoots the gun, or is he chayev at the point when the arrow hits the target? If you follow what I mean, there's that split second in between. So that's a sugya in the third parak. Suvas has to do with kim levi the rabbim. It means while he was doing an avera, he was also ripping someone else's clothes, and whether that person can sue him for damages or not. Have you heard of Kim Levi the Rabbi name? So the nafkamina would be, if let's say he started ripping someone's clothes as he's shooting the arrow. Now, you and I may say, well, you know, you're splitting hairs here, but the arrow could be a slow arrow, especially today, you know, in today's, you know, modern technology. You could shoot off a missile. You could shoot off a missile. It may take 5 minutes. I don't know. You have to check me out on this until the missile hits its target. So the question is, what's your chiyuv? Like the Gemara has a case where he throws a kli from the top of the roof, and then somebody goes down to the bottom of the roof and breaks the kli. You know, that's called monotone. Well, before it hits the ground. You know, so when was the chiyuv set in motion? You know, Ruve was the one who threw the kli, and Shimon was the one who busted the kli. So that's called busami karakas lida, busa tvira monakas lida. That's the sugi baba kama. So all these different cases are so typical of Shas, and we have it right here on Daf Tesvav and Maseches Tesvachim. The Gemara wants to know, this was Rav Yirmiyah's Sofek. He vacillated back and forth. What happened if the Kohen, after the Dam left his hand, but before it hit the Mizbech, the Kohen became a Baal Mum? Do we say that the Kohen's Avoda was complete when he sent the Dam into outer space? Or do we say, no, the Avoda, the Karban, is only completed when the Dam reaches the Mizbech? Says Rav Aryeh Leib Malan that in the case of Hazah, where the Kohen just has to flick his hand, that becomes a complete avoda and an avoda ksheir the moment the Dam leaves his hand. And on that, the Gemara had no suffix whatsoever. And in order to justify this, Tosus says, I'll prove it to you from the fact that the Dam, in the case of Hazah, doesn't have to reach the target at all. The target should be the kapores in the case of lifnai v'lifnim, or it should be the paroches in the case of the dam, the hazor, and the heichal, and yet it doesn't have to reach the kapores. It doesn't have to reach the paroches. There's no negiah. It means, says Rabbi Leib Malan, that the point here is just to get the dam in the direction. If it has to land anywhere, that's just to set up the hazor as a hazor. And here we're up to the paragraph that starts Lefi Zeh, and what we pointed out, that Rashi requires that the Kohen in the case of Hazor stand where? Bein Avadim. And the reason for that is because the Avodas Hazor is complete the very moment that the Dam leaves his hand. Now, if he's outside of the Bein Avadim, you can't call that Hazor Bein Avadim. If, on the other hand, you would have told me, which is wrong, says Rabbi Leib Malan, that the Ikar Avodah of the Hazor is to get the Dam onto the Paroches, or onto the Kapores, and Lifnai V'Lifnim, then again, it's like exactly like what? Like Zrika Sadam Al Gavi HaMizbeach. It's an Avodah of the Dam. The target is the main thing. You know, it's got to land and hit its target. In Hebrew we say bull. I don't know where that comes from. I don't think it's a Hebrew word.
I think it comes from bullseye.
So it comes from the English?
I think from bullseye.
Because most, you should know that most slang in Hebrew is from Arabic. 99%. But I don't think bull is an Arabic word. But I don't know anything about Arabic, so I don't know. But most of, you know, I don't even want to say some of the words that they borrowed from Arabic. They're not all so perfect. Yeah, Shmuel, what do you say?
So the Avoda of Yom Kippur with the
Hazah,
Bein Avadim, is exceptional because also where he has to do it from,
right,
is specified. That's the only Zrikata Dam like that, I think.
Well, the balance of this article, I know you don't have it in front of you, but you may notice, if you have the book, that this article keeps going on and on.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do the whole article.
Like,
but
the regular Zrikata Dam, theoretically, it could be possibly further away.
So that's what this whole article is all about.
what's the important?
Yeah, I'll just pull out one line for you. Highlight one line.
Yeah.
This is on page Shin Samaches, and it's a paragraph that says Ubir,
mm-hmm.
And he writes here Ha'im Nomar. Again, he's vacillating on this point. Ze klal b'chol avodos t'li olam b'inon sheyamod ha'oved b'mokom avoda. Again, it's a very, very fascinating discussion here. I don't know if we'll get to it today. Are we talking about a very exceptional case, or is this a general rule? But getting back just to finish up what we started with, so we got up to the paragraph of Lefi Zeh, and he points out that according to Rashi, the Hazah is the Ikar, meaning the act of the Kohen. It's not the Dam that's our focus. And any discussion about where the Dam has to land, that's only to set up the Maisa Hazor. And since the Maisa Hazor is the Ikar, therefore, Tzorach HaKohen Lamod Bein Abadim. Kedesha Maisa Azah, Yia Maisa Azah Shal Bein Abadim. Because if he's outside the Bein Abadim, and we don't care where the dam lands, because the avod is complete with the departure of the dam from the hand of the Kohen, then how could the Azah be called Azah Bein Abadim if not for the Kohen? So again, what's the Bein Abadim now? We have a concept called Hazor Bein Abadim. Is the Hazor Bein Abadim a Hazor Bein Abadim because it lands Bein Abadim? Or is the Hazor Bein Abadim a Hazor Bein Abadim because the Kohen is situated in Bein Abadim? And that's what Rashi's pointing out. That what's secondary here is where the Dam lands. It doesn't have to get to the Kaporis. But the din of Hazor means what sets up the Hazor as Hazor Bein Abadim is because the Hazor took place Bein Abadim. The Kohen was Bein Abadim. V'lachein tzorach she'yeh yamod ha'kohen Bein Abadim. Just give me 1 second here. Ulam akati yesh la'ayin amaylo sagi she'yamod b'chutz Bein Abadim v'yitbol etzbo b'dam v'yachnis yodo k'neged Bein Abadim v'yazah sham. Now here's something very interesting. In the case of Hazor, the avod is done with what? With his feet? I'm just joking with you. It's done with his hand. It's got to be his right hand, right? Yeah, that's all kodshim, is always with the right hand. Right? He says the following, and this is going to lead us to Shmuel's question again, which I don't know if we'll go through today, but is maybe this halacha in general as far as all avodos. He says, let him stand Bein Abadim. I'm sorry. Let him stand Chutz Bein Abadim. The avodas hazah. So how do you set up the avodas hazah as Bein Abadim? Let him stretch his arm, his hand into the Bein Abadim, and let him do the hazah. And now we set up the hazah as Bein Abadim. Why does Rashi require that the feet of the Kohen have to be situated on the ground Bein Abadim?
Use the word omed. Rashi used the word omed.
Right.
It's omed.
Omed. Omed. Rashi used the word omed. Yeah. In any event, but just to get back to that point, now on Yom Kippur we talk about the Hazor, right? Bein Abadim or the Hazor, Kineged HaParochas. Where else do we find this concept of Hazor? Again, take a look at Tosfos on Daf Tesvav.
The Masorah?
No, in Chatas Ha'Of. Again, you remember that the whole Sugyan Tesvav and the attack against Reb Shimon about the impossibility of having a Machshava Poselos was all on Chatas Ha'Of. What does the Torah say in Chatas Ha'Of? V'hiza. Correct. Again, V'hiza. So that's what Tosfos says. Salkin, now we go back to Tosfos, and it opens up your eyes. You know, you get the light of your eyes here. And Tosfos says, Hazor salkin daita kumina delo tzarech mizbeach midi dihavi hazor de parochas ubein abadim. That the hazor of Chatos Ha'Of, again, keep in mind, in the case of Chatos Ha'Of, he does the malika, he's holding on to the oaf, shaking it up and down, squeezing it this way and that way, the dam spurts out and hits the kira on his back. The top half or the bottom half? Anybody know? If it's an ola, correct. If it's a chatus in the bottom, excellent. You're up on the daf ayomi, I see. And if it's the ola sa'of, then it's on the top, right? Then the whole sugya, if he messes up, and whether or not there's me'ilah, there's not me'ilah, whatever it might be. So now we have a case where the Torah says v'hiza, says Tosfos, salkedait kamina. I would have thought that the word v'hiza and chatas ha'of would indicate, like in the case of hazah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Yom Kippur, that the ikar is the hazah of the Kohen, and therefore there's, once the dam is out of the bird, there's no room for a machshava poseles, and then. Then when the Gemara is going to conclude, but we still have the hekesh between v'hiza and v'nasan in the parsha of Chatos Ha'Of. But does everybody see what Rav Aryeh Leib Malan is accomplishing over here? For us, we wanted to benefit from Rav Aryeh Leib Malan to explain the Rashi at the beginning of Eizem Mekomen Shel Zvachim, why Rashi requires that the Kohen be situated Bein Abadim. And his feet have to be on the ground Bein Abadim. Rav Aryeh Leib Malan, on the other hand, is coming from a different perspective. His benefit is what he wants to gain from this startup, right? He wants to gain the following. Why is it that the Gemara has a Hava Mina, that in the case of Chatas Ha'ov, even if he has a Machshava Poseles, it would not possibly be the Chatas. What kind of a Hava Mina was it? And Tosa says, well, you can compare it to Hazah in Bein Abad. What's that all about? Oh, says Rav Ari Leib Malan, now that we're shifting the definition of Hazah from Al-Gabe, whatever, Al-Gabe Mizbeach, to the Hazah of the Kohen, now we think that the Kohen is finished. He's out of the picture as soon as he does the Hazah. And therefore, Machshava Poselus doesn't register. Or, in our frame of reference, if he became a Baal Mum after the Dam left his hand. And now the question becomes, you know, why does Rashi emphasize the fact that in Hazos Bein Abadim the Dam doesn't have to hit the Kapores? And the answer is because Rashi wants to shift the emphasis from the Dam itself and the arrival of the Dam. We called it Hagos Hadam Lumkomo. To the Maisa Hazor, and any definition of where the Dam has to land is only a barometer to define the Maisa Hazor. And if it's the Maisa Hazor, the Gemara thinks that, so Rashi says, if it's the Maisa Hazor, then the Kohen has to do the Maisa Hazor Bein Abadim. What accomplishes the Maisa Hazor Bein Abadim? Here you have two possibilities. Rashi insists that the Kohen has to be situated standing Bein Abadim. And the Nefesh Tova wants to say, well, let's check out a different possibility. Maybe the Kohen is standing outside of Bein Abadim. What sets up the Hazor Bein Abadim is not where the Dam lands, because we've gotten rid of that possibility, but rather where the Yadayim are. If his Yad is already in the Bein Abadim, and that's how he implements the Hazor, maybe that would set up the Hazor as Bein Abadim. And that leads this whole presentation of the Nefesh Tova in the name of Rabbi Leib Malan to explore the possibility that maybe in all avodos it's not enough for the Kohen to stick his hand in a certain place and do the avoda. He himself has to be situated in the makom avoda, and that's the universal halacha. And that he derives from a sugya daf chavav am an al. So we're not going to have time to do that now because I want to get back to Eza Mekomachal Zvachim. But again, you know, I'm throwing out the possibility that we might want to look up the Sugya Daf Chavav Amin Aleph. Again, you'll have to give me your Hanchayot one way or the other. Okay, then. So that's what I wanted to get today from the Nefesh Tova. And now, if everybody's on board, let's get back to Eza Mekom and Shal Zvachim. Is that okay?
Sure.
So we're up to Daf Mem Ches on Mem Aleph. Yes, please.
Maybe you covered it, and I apologize. But what about the Hekesh between Vahazar and Benatan? What happens to the Benatan?
Okay, so that's going to be the final maskana, and the Gemara is going to say at the end of the day that don't just look at the word Vahizo, but in the same pasuk. The Torah says Venos. And that's going to tell me that in Chatas Ha'ov, not the way you thought, as soon as he shakes it up, that's it, the ball game is over, finito, and the Kohen can go home. But no, the Dam has to reach the Kira Mizbech. And why? Because the Torah says Vehiza and Venos in the same post.
But it's still defined.
Meaning, if you only had the word Vehiza, then you would have equated it to what? What's your favorite day of the year?
Yom
Kippur. Right? You would compare it to Yom Kippur.
I see. Okay.
But now that the Torah in the parasha adds the word Vinasa,
right.
That's going to tell me no. This is a requirement in all Korbanos with the exception of the Azos of Yom Kippur. There the Torah doesn't have Vinasa. It's purely Vehiza. Achas Levala Shem Levato. But the final Maska. But we again, you know, that's the beauty of Shas, that you can spend an hour and maybe 10 hours just trying to understand the Havamin in the Gemara. What was the Havamin in the Gemara? You know, does the Gemara not know that every Dam has to reach its location, and therefore the Kohen could have Machshava Poselus before the Dam actually lands where it has to land? Does the Gemara not know that? And Tosa says, he pulls a rabbit out of his hat, and he says, yeah, the Gemara didn't know that because in the case, we have already in Hebrew it's called a Takdim. You familiar with that word? You have a precedent. There's a precedent to a situation where forget about where the Dam lands. That's not the point. It's not the reaching the target, as we say, but rather the Dam getting thrown up into the air. Okay.
Rabbi Bernstein, just one last point about that. the chatata of,
yeah,
isn't the main thing that they were attacking over that after the malita, until the dam hits the mizbeach,
right,
you have there, you know, a maximum, a matter of seconds.
Right.
So they were basically saying that a person can't have a kavana to, like, lo bizmano, lo bimkomo, about this chatata of within less than 2 seconds.
I don't see it that way, Shmuel. I think what you are saying is that the coin is out of the picture the very second that he did the Maisa Hazor, you know, when he shakes up the oath. The Gemara's not worried like you and I would be worried, because we're trying to count seconds here about how short of an interval there is in which you have to squeeze this machshava for cells. That doesn't bother the Gemara. Okay, Rabbi, so let's see if we can move on. We're on Daf Mem Ches Amid Aleph. Let's count up from the bottom of the Amud. Let's see how many lines we're going to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Okay then? Memchetam and Aleph. And you'll see the two dots. Okay? So Chatos Minolon Deboi Safa. Now, the Mishnah had already stated at the beginning of this parak, and keep reminding me that it's the fifth parak, because for some reason I get confused, I call it the fourth parak, it's the fifth parak. That in the case of Shchitas Kodshei Kodshim, for example, the case of Chatos, we need that the Shkita take place in the Tzofon. Not only that, the Mishnah says that the Kabbal Saddam has to take place in the Tzofon. Again, we'll always have to ask the question, what if the Kohen is situated, his feet are situated outside the Kodesh Kodosh, outside of the Tzofon, but his hands are inside the Tzofon, right? That's always going to be an issue, and that's what this Rabbi Eli Malin is about. So Gemara asks, what's the source in the Torah that Chatos needs Tzofon? Now the reason for this question is because the requirement of Tzofon is only explicit at the very beginning of Vayikra in the case of Ola. So Gemara answers that you fast forward from Perek Aleph, which is Ola in Sefer Vayikra, to Perek Dalet, and you get to Chatos, and there it says, V'shachatos achatos b'makom ha'ola. You know, how explicit could the Torah be? That the Shechita has to take place in the Makom Ha'ola. And the Makom Ha'ola of the Torah that told me three and a half prakim earlier is got to be with Tzofon. Okay. So we know that Chatos like Ola has to be with Tzofon. But again, what's the first word in this pasuk? Shachat. So it doesn't tell me beans about Kabbalah Saddam. Which, again, it's an odd kind of scenario, but what it means is that although he did the Shechita in Tzofon, but nevertheless, he was Mekabel the Dam outside the Tzofon. Or, for that matter, maybe there were two different Kohen. One Kohen did the Avodas HaShechita, Zevach, Zvicha, and the other Kohen did the Avoda of Kabbalah Saddam. One was standing in the Tzofon, the other was outside the Tzofon. And again, this all figures into the dynamics, if you will, of the way the dam comes out of the animal's body, which again is not secondary because there are four different stages in how the dam leaves the body. The last stage, beyond those four, is called dam tzatamtzis, and that's the worst thing that you want to get onto the mizbeah, because that's absolutely a no-no. So we want to get what's called dam nefesh, and the dam nefesh, Gemara says, has a certain projectile. And if that's a projectile, then theoretically you can have one Kohen who does the Shechita in the Tzofon, his buddy, another Kohen, is standing right next to him, and he's Mekabel the Dam outside the Tzofon. So how do we know the Kabbalah Saddam requires Tzofon? Again, we've had long discussions about how we know Bechlal that Kabbalah Saddam is an Avodah, right? So for example, if I were to tell you that from Vayasem Bakanos, this is just a review to test you, that's the source for Kabbalah Saddam, then what would you argue?
Then why do you need a Klisharis?
Exactly, why do you need a Klisharis?
Ben, you give me a lot of nachas today. No joke. I mean this in all sincerity. You know, when I feel that I'm not talking to the wall, I get a good feeling. You know, Kachim is so complicated that when I see you're on board, I'm very happy about it. So again, how do we know that you require klisharis? The answer is vayakrivu. And vayakrivu, the Gemara identifies as Kabbalah Sadam, right? That's the Sugya Daf Yud Gimel. And once you elevated the Kabbalah Sadam to the status of an avodah, then it becomes what? What else now becomes a requirement? A klisharis. Good?
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Klisharis, yes. But not Tzofon. How do you know that he has to be with Tzofon? Because again, we know that there are plenty of avodos outside of the Tzofon. All of Kachin Kalam is outside of the Tzofon. So we know that the Torah recognizes avodah outside of Tzofon. So who says that the Kabbalah Sadam, all right, you've upgraded it to the status of an avodah and you need a klisharis? Maybe even you have to be Makadish Sadam, if you remember, we discussed that possibility, the Ramban in his Pirushal Torah. But it doesn't mean that the Kohen has to be situated for the Kabbalah Sadam and the Tzofon. Kabbalah Minolon. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk there in the same parsha of Chatos, and it says, "V'lakach haKohen midomo be'etzba'o." And Chazal understand that this word "v'lakach" or the concept of lekicha is a reference to Kabbalah Sadam. So we're going to read the pasuk as if the end of the pasuk is connected to the beginning of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk says, and then it says, meaning he should receive the dam. So the beginning of the pasuk says he should shef the carbon, which means in the tzofon. And then it says, v'lokach. V'lokach is a continuation of v'shachat. So he's v'shachat and then he's v'lokach. The shachat, the shchit has to be in the tzofon, and that's called the makom ha'olah in the Torah's language. And now the volakach, which means the kabbal sadam, likewise has to be mitzofon.
Physically, it's almost axiomatic that it would be.
Well, he has a whole discussion here. I'll just read to you what he says on the bottom. He says, "Shelo yishchat mitzofon v'yimshok as a behema takeof l'doro v'yikabel shom sadam." So again, you and I might think, how can you engineer such a thing? But I'm telling you, he's quoting the Rambam. The Rambam says you could engineer such a thing. And the Rambam addresses the following question. Let's say, in the case of Chatos, he shefts the animal b'tzofon. Immediately following the shechita, he carries the animal. He drags the animal 1 inch over the boundary into the doro. And then he's mekabel the dam and klisharis to the doro. And the Rambam wants to know, is it kosher? And the Rambam says, it's not kosher. Because in addition to the requirement of shechita b'tzof, we have required kabbalah sadam b'tzof, a lock of min adam. And Malakat Menadam is a reference to Kabbalah Sadam. Again, this is going to be, I don't want to turn the clock back, but this Gemara is a little bit, adds another element of confusion, because if Malakat means Kabbalah Sadam, and is a requirement of Tzafon in Kabbalah Sadam, then what was the half meaning of the Gemara that you needed another possible Yakrivu to prove that you upgrade Kabbalah Sadam to an avodah? I mean, if the Torah is requiring Tzofon in Kabbalah Sadam, and that's an explicit pasuk, why is the Gemara Daf Yud Gimel racking its brains to find a source for Kabbalah Sadam as an avodah? Obviously, it's an avodah if it requires Tzofon. You hear where, you know, everything has to somehow fit into its place. If you go with the Ramban, again, if we only had the pasuk v'yakrivu, maybe we would assume v'yakrivu means to make it into a carbon. Remember, the Ramban's thesis was that the syntax or the semantics of v'yakrivu is lashon carbon, and carbon means to make the dam into a carbon. So maybe I need the klisharis and the kabbalah to make the dam into a carbon, but it's not yet an avodah. But now we have v'yikru, v'lakach, and v'lakach means that it has the status of an avodah. Okay, this is where Rabbi Leibmalin has his whole shtickle Torah. How do we know that the Makabel himself, meaning the Kohen himself, has to be situated in the Tzofon? Maybe he could stand in the Dorom, He could stretch his hands out. What does he happen to say to Rabbi Ozai? Ugly shores. And then he could be makabel the David and Sofa. Very similar to what we discussed earlier about the Kohen standing outside of Bein HaBadim and putting his Yadayim inside. And if the Gemara is now going to establish based on the Alfusa that no, it's not enough that the Klishares be in the Tzofon to be Makabal the Dam, but we also need the Kohen be standing in the Klishares. It's not enough that he stretches his hands out with the Klishares into the Tzofon, then maybe this is a source for all Avodos. This is not the exception to the rule, but rather the rule itself, that we need that the Kohen be standing with Makom Avoda. And since the Makom Avoda is no doubt Sofon, that we've already derived from the possible Lokach, and therefore the Klisharis has to be, the Kabbalah of the Dam has to be in the Sofon, so maybe the Kohen himself has to be there, and that's a din in all Avoda, that wherever the Makom Avoda is, that's where the Kohen has to be. On my Krah, the Pasuk says, the Lokach HaKohen. And now the Gemara is going to build a lot on the word HaKohen, which apparently is a completely extra word here in this passage, because we know we're talking about the Kohen. And the Torah says V'lakach HaKohen. So the word V'lakach has to do with the Kabbalah Saddam. The word HaKohen has to do with the Kohen himself. So the Kabbalah Saddam and the Kohen both have to be B'makom Ha'ola, which it means inside the... itself. Now we have the principle which is called Shina Kosuv Li'akiv. Do you remember that principle? Shina Kosuv Li'akiv? Doesn't ring a bell? Oh, you should write this down. When the Torah sets up a requirement in Kodshim, then the premise is, until we prove otherwise, that that's only L'mitzvah. So all of Kachim, all of Vayikra, say Vayikra, has to be analyzed and read with the following premise. That the Torah is telling you how to do this avodah in the best possible way. Get the most brownie points. Zekelim Avid. So how do you know to upgrade it from L'mitzvah to L'ikuvah? And that terminology is all over Kachim. L'mitzvah versus L'ikuvah. For example, we'll get to a sugya mitzvah here in Ezer Makoma called Shficha Shirayim, which means that the leftover dam after he did his rika has to be poured on the yisod of his bed. And we're going to ask, is that L'mitzvah or L'ikuvah? And what's going to always give me the answer? It's always going to be the same methodology. That's called Shina HaKosav Li'akiv. Shina means if the Torah repeats itself, then it's Li'akiv. Then it upgrades it from just a mitzvah to a level of critical. It becomes absolutely critical in the avodah. So the Gemara says, Ashkechan l'mitzvah li'akev v'nayim. Okay, the Torah requires tzofon. The Torah only mentions the requirement of tzofon once. So the shechita and the kabbal of kochi kochim has to take place both in the azor, in the tzofon of the azor. That's only the lit mitzvah. But you know what? Let's say he did the shechita or the kabbal in the daro. Okay, he forfeits that great extra mitzvah. That's Shiari Mitzvah, that's the... Okay, well, he gets, instead of, you know, getting five pieces of pizza, we'll give him one piece of pizza. Okay, but the carbon is still kosher. So how do you know L'ikuvah? How do you know to upgrade it to L'ikuvah? That Sofon is absolutely critical. And the answer is Krach Rina Ksiv. How would you translate those words, Krach Rina? Because then this is the phrase that'll appear all over the place in Kochim. It always has the same answer. What does Shina? What does it mean? Krach Rinaksiv?
That the Torah repeats. Very cool.
Whenever you see those words, Krach Rinaksiv in Kochim, that's a code word for saying that the Torah repeated what it already said. And why did the Torah bother repeating what it already said? The Torah is very stingy on him.
L'kivah.
Exactly, Kuvah. Shina Kosu, Shina Lama Kosu La'ach. Where is this second pasuk? And the Torah says that, that this is called a parsha of Seir Nasi, which means that the Nasi violated a very serious aver b'shogeg, and he has to bring a carbon Seir, and that's a chatos. And there it says, v'shachat oso b'makom asher yishchat esa'ola. And this is very interesting, because the first pasuk that we had was v'yikra dalid pasuk choftes. Now we're going backwards by five psukim to Vayikra Dalet Pasuk Chaf Dalet, I mean, again, the five psukim, probably if you open the chumash, they're on the same page. But twice the Torah says v'makom ha'ola. And what does v'makom ha'ola mean? Tzafon. Ah, so the Torah repeats itself in Chatos twice, right? I mean, is that how you say it? It repeats itself twice? No. It repeats itself. You don't have to say it twice. Okay. If it repeats itself requiring tzafon, then it's telling you likuvo. And that's the principle of what? Of Shina Olav HaKosu Li'ake. See, I'm bothered by questioning. I'm going to take a look and see if maybe he has some footnote about this. It's not really fair to say Shina Olav HaKosu here, because the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting now only mentions which avodah. No, I'm saying which avodah, the four avodah. So,
we're talking about Kabbalah.
No, read the pasuk. I mean, you and I might say Kabbalah stuff. That's not what the pasuk says. Yeah, it says v'shachato sova makom shayishka. So the Torah twice requires the shchita makom sova. How do I know the Kabbalah Saddam is likuva? Maybe Kabbalah Saddam is only the mitzvah. If you have another pasuk that tells you that Kabbalah Saddam is what? Is so requires cell phone, then again Shina of course. So the Gemara apparently is working with a premise that Shechita and Kabbalah both require cell phone as a unit. And if I could prove to you that the Shechita itself, cell phone, is a critical requirement, then the same would therefore apply ipso facto to Kabbalah Saddam. It's one entity. Because again, in the parashah of Kabbalah Saddam, that's where the Torah requires tzafon as a hemshek to the shechita. And the thought always occurred to me, is shechita and Kabbalah Saddam to some extent one entity? And again, we call four avodos, I'm not going to deny that. But is there some halachic, you know, interdependence or connection between shechita and Kabbalah?
I would have to say on the surface no, because shechita can be done by a zar. And Kabbalah could only be done by a Kohen, so they couldn't be linked in that sense.
Okay. But let's take a look at the fact that Shechita and Kabbalah are working in a sense together to set up the Dam. Do you follow? We haven't even gotten to the Mizbeach yet. We're nowhere near the Mizbeach, so to speak. I don't mean that physically, but conceptually, we're not near the Mizbeach. And in fact, we have the Ramban who says the Kabbalah Saddam is to be Makadesh the Dam, meaning that the Dam, insofar as it's part of the whole organism of the animal, that the animal itself is kachim, the dam is also kachim, no doubt about it. So, for example, if I would go over to an animal that's kachim and I start squeezing out its blood, I do a you know what we call in Yiddish bankis. Bankis is bloodletting. Believe it or not, my parents remembered bankis back in the old days. You shouldn't laugh at it, Don, because there is a theory in science today that under certain conditions, if you have high blood pressure, that bloodletting is healthy.
I thought it was from the Middle Ages.
Correct.
Not as recent as the
19th. That's what I'm telling you. It's called barbershops. I don't know what language that is. I think it's Yiddish. But
barbershops in America that have that thing, that was a symbol for blood letters.
Right.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. They were the original doctors.
Yeah, the barbershops.
So if I would bloodlet a famous kachim, and I would get benefits from that dam, that's a no-no, because even before the shechita, even if I bloodlet from a live animal without shechting it, the dam is kodesh. But as far as mizbeach is concerned, I need an upgraded level of kiddush, and that's accomplished by the kabbalah of the dam between sharis. So both the shechita and the kabbalah saddam work in tandem to set up the dam. Again, you're right, Ben, that I could have a shechita bizarre. But nevertheless, the shechita itself is to begin the process of getting a hold of the dam. Now we get to halach and zrika. That's already a whole different story. That's already getting the dam onto the mizbeach. Just want to take a quick peek here and see if he mentions anything here. Ah, he's worried about something else in the footnote. He tells you to look in his Yalkut Biurim, which is all the way in the back, for a discussion about whether or not we are justified in deriving conclusions in general about the requirements of a chatos from the case of Sa'ir Nasi. Because Sa'ir Nasi, he says, is different Ah, but he says that immediately after the parasha of Seir Nasi, there's another parasha called Seir Yachid, and somehow the Gemara wants to combine those two together. Okay, fine. That's an interesting discussion.
When you say Nasi, does that mean the Nasi of the Sanhedrin?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah, because you're right. Back in the time of the Mishkan, the word Nasi had a different connotation.
The following verse, after the second Shachatato, the following verse is Halakas et Adam. So if the Gemara is putting those two parsha together, then maybe that's also a crop
for Kabbal.
Right.
So that's what he writes in the bottom. He says in the name of the Shittim Kuvetzes that in the case of Kabbalah, the Makabel requires Safon. And he says, how are we going to derive the conclusion that that's critical, that Kabbalah Sadam be in Safon? He says, v'imashenemar v'se'iras yachin, maybe this is the pasuk you're referring to, I don't have a chumash in front of me, he says, v'lokach ha-kohen yidam ha-chatos. And that's pasuk chafhei. What was the previous pasuk that we had? It was pasuk lamed. You remember, v'lokach ha-kohen yidam ha-chatos and pasuk lamed? And now he's quoting a pasuk in Chafhei, and it says, "V'lakacha kohen midam achatos." Do you have such a thing? Those two.
Right. So pasuk lamed is chatat yachid, and then the kra achrina the Gemara gives is chaf dalid, which is chatat hanasi.
Oh, and the very next
verse, "V'lakacha kohen midam achatat be'etzba'o v'natan al karnei David alis ba'chavla al karnei mizachavla." That is also chatat hanasi.
Okay, fine, but leaving out that issue of Chatat Nasi, but it says Volakach again.
Right.
So do you see the word Volakach twice within close proximity? Right? Once in Pasuk of Dalit, if I'm not mistaken, and once in Pasuk La. So six psukim of a separation. Okay. Now. Visanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa to support what we said before. Again, we're back to the Sayyid Nasi. Said Shachat also makom asher yishchat es olah heichan olah nishkatav et sofon avzeh bit sofon. And then here on Daf Mem Ches Amid Beis, the brisa asks itself a question: v'chi mikan atolomed. This is the source for shchita bit sofon v'alo kvar nemar. It says in general back in the case of chatos, b'mokom asher tishochet ta'ola tishochet ha'chatos olam yotza. So why did the Torah tell us in Seir Nasi that we need tzafon? So the answer is l'kvolo mokom, to tell us that this requirement of mokom is l'ikuv. It's absolutely critical. Shem lo shachatov et tzafon, and if he misses up on tzafon, then pasul. Ata omer shel kaf yotza o eino ela ze ta'un tzafon v'ein acher ta'un tzafon. Maybe this pasul of the shachatos of makom asher yishchat es ha'ola is teaching me that a Seir Nasi requires Tzafon, but another Seir doesn't require Tzafon. Like, for example, let's say we have a Seir of Yom HaKippurim, where we have a Seir that's brought on Moadim, we have Seir of Avodah Zarah, maybe they don't require Tzafon. Talmud Lomar, Mishachatas HaChatas, B'makom HaOl. Okay, so that pasuk, which we quoted earlier, which I think is pasuk Chavtes, that pasuk is a reference to a classical sa'ir l'chatos yachid, and that becomes a binyan av l'chol achatos, to teach me all, in all sa'irim, you know, that not only if you talk about sa'ir nasi, but even if you talk about the sa'irim of Yom HaKippurim, or the sa'irim of Moadim, of Avodah Zarah, etc., etc., they all require safon. Sheyu to unos sofon. Okay, fine, but we still don't have Shino lova kosuv li akev Ashkechan seir nosir bein levitzu bein likuvo. So the Torah has repeated in chatos that in Sa'ir Nasir, in addition to all chatos, because Sa'ir Nasir is also included in all chatos, he required suffering. So that repetition is going to tell me that it's likuva. But Sha'ar chatos, Nami Ashkan Lemitzvah, okay, we know that Safon is Lemitzvah, because the Torah says, the Mokum Asher Tishokra Ola Tishokra Chatos, but Li'akev Minoah. And Gemara doesn't want to quote the pasuk of Seir Nasi because Seir Nasi might be Likuva, but in other chatos, maybe it's only Lemitzvah. So Gemara answers, Dichsiv, the din of Tzofan is written elsewhere. Bekizva uksiv b'seira. Okay, so here we'd have to open up the psukim here. And we'll have to see that with regard to a chatas yachid, there are two possibilities of a chatas yachid. There's the kizba and the se'ira. And with regard to the kizba, the Torah says, v'shachato sol l'chatas b'mok masher yishkat ha'sa'ola, meaning that a se'ir yachid, I'm sorry, that a kizba of a chatas requires tzafon, and then it says in se'iras yachid, V'shachat es hachatos b'makom ha'ola. So we have, with regard to Seiris Yachid, a requirement of b'makom asher yishkat es ha'ola. And this repetition is going to teach us that all Seirim, and we gave the examples before of Yom HaKippur, Moadim, and Avodah Zarah, they all require a Safon. And not only do they require tzafon le-mitzvah, but also require tzafon le-ikuva. So let's just make a note of where we got to. We're here on Daf Mem Ches Amid Beis, and we are up to Ela Oso Lomel. Correct? Ela Oso Lomel. So that's what we'll pick up in Mitzvah Hashem. We'll meet tomorrow. If anybody has a chance to look at the Nefesh Tova, just I only mentioned this just in case you want to go on.
I didn't, on the Nefesh Tova.
He has here
where we left off in the Gemara.
He has here a discussion. So you know what, we're going to have to make a fundamental decision here, because beginning on page Shin Ayin Gimel, he picks up the first Tosfos in Eizah Mekomah. Let's take a look at that Tosfos just for a second and make a quick vote here. There's a gigantic Tosfos here at the very beginning of the Eizah Mekomah. So I'm asking now, again, for your feedback, because this is a fundamental decision that's going to probably have an impact on us for weeks to come. Do you want to do this Tosfos or not? In other words, if we're looking for that middle of the road that we spoke about, the compromise of moving at a fast pace but yet doing even, then that Tosfos will really, really slow us down. And Don, you were asking me a few days ago about when I expect to finish Eizah Mekomah Shel Zvach and go on to the next parak. If we decide to pick up this Tosfos, hopefully it'll happen soon, but because we want to be ready for the Mashiach. But as Ben said before, you know, get your Mashiach suit ready for the Tisha B'Av this year. But seriously, you know, do you want to do this Tosfos or not? Again, it's going to be a whole different change in the limud.
My personal vote is I love doing Tosfos at Nihum, but I can't speak for the whole group if that's what they. I'd love that personally, but I'm only one person in this whole class. You guys have to tell me what you want.
I'm only here from the weeds.
Rabbi, we're going to miss you. There's a form of compromise here, of let's say doing it partially and letting all the people want to finish it up outside of the
show. All right. So you want to spend, let's say, one or two mornings on this Tosfos, and we'll see where we go after that.
Yeah,
we'll try that.
Sure.
Try that as an experiment. Okay, then. And then you're on Shin Ayin Gimel here in the Nefesh Tova. He goes on and on and on with his Tosfos. And he, but thank God. thank God he chops it into smaller pieces, because otherwise we're really in trouble here. The first piece is on Menachos. Okay, and Kabbalah Sadam, again, there's no Kabbalah Sadam in Menachos because Menachos comes from produce, but the parallel to Kabbalah Sadam is what's called Kmitza. So that's what Tosis begins with over here, the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim. And also, oh yeah, this is a fascinating discussion. Oh, this is interesting. Whether or not in Shechita you require a sakin of a kli sharis. Can you just take any, you were mentioning it, but he picks it up here. Tosis has Rabbeinu Ephraim, who's very rarely quoted in Tosis, but whenever he quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim, you know you're in for trouble, so to speak. He wants to say, lo be'inan sakin, we don't need a sakin at all in Shechita. In other words, forget about the issue of klisharis or not. Shechita could be done with a sharp stone. And the question, that's the beginning of Masechta Chulin. And the question is, can we do that in Kodshim as well? And Rabbeinu Ephraim, believe it or not, was of the opinion, I mean, many Rishonim disagree with him, that the same act of Shechita that applies to Chulin applies. And again, that fits in Ben with the fact that Shechita is Ksheir B'Zak. So you don't even need a sakin, let alone a sakin shell klisharis. So there can be three shittas, and the most extreme shita is going to require a sakin that has sanctified with a kedusha of a klisharis. Okay then?
Sure, thank you.
I wish everyone a great day.
Me too, thank you, Rabbi.
And if you're around for another round, what's today, Wednesday? So Wednesday means 11:45. We're going to talk about a certain chiddush in the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi wants to say that the mitzvah achilas kodshim can be fulfilled in less than a kezayis. It's the only time in all the halachic universe that we recognize an achila that's less than a kezayis. Okay, then?
Well, thank you.
All right, all the best.